get our meeting started here. Welcome to. Welcome you guys. You want to stand up? Just tell us who you are. We can. Did you hear that?
John Ray.
John Ray. Okay. Glad to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Newest member of the band. Was on his lot yesterday.
Cool. All right. Well, then, that's Renee Hall. If you give us a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Okay, Renee. Okay, first thing on our agenda is to approve the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections of the minutes?
Don't think so.
So noted, they stand approved. Let's have our treasury report, Joe.
Okay, as far as the checking, we've got $94,484 in it. In our savings, we've got $26,961. So that's going to drop. We got to put a new septic tank in the garden cabin today and yesterday, so that's going to change.
Do you know approximately the cost?
No, I don't. I already bought it. The tank was $2,000.
That's not including labor,
no.
So we need to wait till we get our bill.
Yeah, it'll be in the 5,000 range.
Okay. Is that coming out of our savings?
Yeah.
It's not budgeted for.
It's not budgeted, so it's going to have to. What's that? Well, I got something to do, yeah.
I mean, I guess Brad's question is, we have a certain amount of money designated to maintain the headquarters. And I don't know what that is or how much we're currently anticipating spending. Do you have any light on that? We kind of quickly answered Brad's question saying that this was something not planned for or budgeted for, and probably will have to come out of savings. But I was just asking if you had the numbers on what we had budgeted for headquarters, and if we had spent or anticipate spending all of it. Well, I mean, we've been doing nice extra projects on the rent out, and can you shed any light on that?
We are really close.
Thank you,
man. So the idea is to get a
Okay.
Yeah. As far as the budget goes, the income on the cabin so far is over, a little over $5,000 on the income, according to the last report we got. So we're not into the year very deep, so we're pretty good there. I came up with a problem on the dinner for the barbecue we had. We're, unless we find where some of the money went, we're going to have to either increase the price of person we charge, because we spent like $557 according to the receipts you've given us for the food, and we only collected $287. So Mariah is breaking it down a little further when she gives her report. We can find out where we're at, but we're cutting it close on losing money on the barbecue. I'm sensing Brad got about $2,700 left the way I look at it. We're getting close on that. And the ranch house itself, we're already over the budget of $400. We got to finish that, and we don't have a problem with those things from that. So, it's just something we have to do. Overall, I can do the cabins. We spent very little. We're in good shape. The septic tank, of course, is was a shock. The thing that really hit me hard, too, was on the dump truck. They charged us a lot of money for registering that truck. I couldn't believe it. But they said there's over $2,000 just to register that truck, that dump truck. But that's supposed to drop down to under $500 next year because they charge it all up front. So it'll hopefully work out next year on that portion.
Does that truck leave the ranch? Does the dump truck ever leave the ranch?
No.
I have a question. Here's a what if.
Wasn't that
$2,000
for you to pay the sales tax?
That's the sales tax and the registration. It hit us pretty hard, yeah.
Here's a question I have for you. What if? Every time I drive in, I've been eyeing that nice, real pink and red, different grades of drop at the student power pit. Now, for instance, I never have been able to catch yet the guy that's working there, but I'd like to have a few truckloads of that brought up to my place. So I have made no negotiations or signed that up, or you know what it costs, or if they're willing to deliver. But say, I don't know, would it be possible to have them load and use the ranch truck if I rent the ranch truck and have somebody help me drive it? You got a possibility?
Yeah. We want to bring them up to the upper cabin drain, where we put the septic tank in by cabin one, and we wanted to put the red rock up through there and around the whole area. So when people are up there, they don't have to walk in the mud. So we want to bring some of that up there anyhow.
Bill?
Yeah.
What two loads we're pulling there for that?
Yeah.
$400
loads. Was it 400 loads? And now, did they deliver it?
They deliver it.
Okay.
Now, certainly you could buy it and haul it.
I don't know.
Cheap. You know, less of a truck. And you asked the question Brad did, I think, about the go off the road of Texas. On the road technically, that's a county road, and if you go on it,
he means it's different. So.
Yeah, no. I don't see us driving on this.
Well, I think it's about whether we really have to register it or not. Because if it doesn't go on public roads anymore, and they can't meet, because I bought it out of state, and it was surprising what they started.
But if we don't register,
$1,400 for a car.
If we don't register it, then we have a problem with insurance.
I don't think one has anything to do with the other. I need to check into it. I don't know the answer to that.
No, I've had cars that have been broken down, and they still charge me insurance. Registration ran out. Didn't stop the insurance. Paid the bill.
$1,000 just in the account. And then we spent $1,100 on change of tax.
Right.
sounded like it was all registration.
And it's been registered as a pharmacist. So it's been registered as a worker. And I tried to get as much couple of things from Ohio, all that kind of stuff. It worked out with them being registered. So I think that's for what the decision is. We had a couple of drinks too. We had to attire and we had to spend that $5,000 and $5,000.
So do you have an idea of what it would cost actually to register next year? It seems like there would be some liability to be driving around a car that doesn't meet state standards, you know.
Well, and I don't know that we're going to save that much money by not registering. My guess is the registration is going to be $75 to $100.
I don't know. I mean,
but the only reason we register it, though, is to go to Fredonia to get gravel, and we can get all the gravel here at, on Student Paul Road, so we don't need to register for that, do we?
That's true. My staff has such an announcement out there. I asked them about registering the town park if we haven't registered, because
it still has not been used. It's for repairs, if nothing else.
Yeah, it has to. We have to have it registered if we do.
Okay. I don't have the breakdown on it, but we're over budget on miscellaneous tools, but we've had to buy quite a few things to get caught up, but we're about $300 over our budget.
What was the budget?
Well, the budget was $500. We're into it $850 already. So I don't know what all that was. But we're under the track trailer was budgeted $1,000, we're only at $550, so that's in the same department, really, so we're okay. Fuel expense, we're okay. General supplies, we're pretty good. Insurance, I'm not sure where we're at on that. We were budgeted for $1,000, we're into $4,700 on insurance. I don't know where all that's gone.
Oh, there's more. That's budget
$7,400. Oh, we did?
So, we have
our auto insurance, our contract, okay. We have our contract, so we're
right on track.
Okay. That's all I got.
Other than
that, we're pretty close.
Thanks, Joe. That's pretty good accounting. Appreciate it. Okay, let's, you're up, Mariah.
Okay, so, for the county registration, they came in time, a full all time. I reported that we had increased so far now by 10 minutes, but not the budget. And we got a lot of positive feedback from the county versus also, it's not the way it ran, but they still have
Yay. Do we have to give her a raise at the babysit grant?
Still have three lots that are currently being processed.
And first we tried to grate it with a stress, fresh stress, but it would drain, it made ruts. And so we worked very hard to get that thing. It's perfect, and it stays perfect now, except the thing's growing on it for about 8 years. So I was really worried about the seed degrading there. It's not a place to practice using the grater. Yeah, well, I told you otherwise.
It's my responsibility.
John?
My responsibility. Okay, John. No grate over there anymore.
Just go out and see him. I think I'm still the airport manager. And,
well, you're going right down this road here.
But frankly, that'll make stuff. I mean, it's settled, it's nice. So I'd ask you to practice for only maintain the same topography. Barely go by as just a half inch of ground just to take off plants that are maybe crowded. But that, we worked really hard to make it so it wouldn't erode away, and we were pretty successful. I think maybe down the road away, with great experience, you'll be able to match that. But I have my concern now. So by digging or practicing too much, it will soften. It will make softer places, and it does. I've noticed that there's a lot more growth on it. But as you can see, there used to be these really tall berms, and it's narrow airstrip. And we had a plane try to take off from here, and swing ship did hit the berm and totally ruined the plane. So after that, I was facing my family when I used to fly in here. That's when I put all the money and effort, about $20,000, to make that thing right. So I know it's kind of my baby, and I know you didn't know anything about it. No hard feelings, nothing there at all. Just try to maintain the spotters you have, and we should plane off the growth. I mean, there's weeds, that is all. Depends on the plane. Most planes, like the first one I had, I dust my crop all the time. Come back all standard. And I got a big plane that was high up, crop was off the ground with great big tires. I could go over logs, really, with that. But not going to last. So anyway, I'd appreciate it. Probably this fact, let's just say, we got the whole field out there on this road. So for now, try to prepare that pivot, and John,
what,
maybe we,
what pivot?
Well, this is about 150 feet of cut, about 6 feet.
How deep?
6 inches to maybe a foot. Not continuously, it varies a lot. And that's only a short part of it, but there is a greater blade bent through on an angle. So you fill that back in right now, you don't compact it. Plain lands there is going to be a. And by the way, I'll report one other thing. Sorry to butt in. I haven't heard back from the St. George Airport about their old flag, their old windsock. And I'm still trying to get their old windsock put back up there. But just so you know, it's marked with an R on the avionics chart. An R means restricted, inside a strip. Don't land there without permission. Or if you declare emergency and you land at your own risk. So we are not responsible to get hurt. I know you're saying it's not responsible, but I think it's wise to have a good stop there. And
we don't want anybody to get hurt.
And those half barrels that are marked a certain way, they're just held in by rebar with a hole driven through. We should lift those up, plane around there with a grater, and re-put them in that same order. That tells an airplane which way the prevailing wind is and the best way to land, which means they go around this way and they come in from the north. That's what it indicates when there's no radio control. So anyway, start a big interruption. Keep going.
Yeah.
The big one only grabs, I think, 0.9, I thought.
always know that whatever she does involves him, always with a fish tank job. So I think it should be a simple thing for girls and barber fun.
So for those of you who don't know, Barbara Budge, a long-term member, was the manager for a while, so she loves Kirsten.
Her husband was on the board at one time, and for a long, long time. They still have a lot, yeah.
Well, thank you for that report. Did you have anything else?
I want to ask you about the Eastern Rabbit problem. Anyway, he couldn't have to be outside of his rubbish. Where all of those things are situated.
We should. I don't have a problem with it. We just got to find a way to put a duck on the back of it to catch the fumes.
Well, I've done a little bit of research. It's a pretty simple stuff to apply. You know, it's not a big deal. It's just going to take a little bit of
There's a venting problem, but if the fridge itself shuts off when there's more.
Yeah?
Okay, just the venting
problem. The tenants complain of the fumes. So I make a motion that we try venting it to the outside.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Renee? Oh, that's it. Oh, ours is electric, man.
It's $75 on all the people working here, it's $50. So, I had enough members to call me and said, oh, you think you're right for a community? No. This is a computer that came in, so it's not a friend. I don't know if you want to be a friend. That was that one. It's not a,
$100.
I agree, at least $100
good.
So does anybody want to second my motion?
All second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 100 bucks.
My motion 50 if it goes to Rachel.
Okay, let's, Beth, can you change it on the webpage?
I'm sorry, what?
We're changing the, cleaning fee to $100. If you can make sure that's on the website.
I didn't, yeah, the audio was really, really bad today, guys. I had no idea what the $100 discussion was all about.
Okay, that's the cleaning fee changing the cleaning fee from $50 to $100. We want more of a deterrent.
Okay, gotcha. If Mariah, just send me a little spot where you want to convert it in the current area, I'll do that.
Okay, I'll let you know.
Yeah, just to let you know.
There you go. Got a question.
Yeah. So, if we're going to, I agree with the raising the deterrent. I think the real problem is the new kind of labor between turning over the cabin. And we're serious about making sure that the cabin is prepped for the next week. So what we should do is price and rank to find out how much it is cheap to get somebody to run out here and do that. And if you do the hunt, that would be a rational deterrent. If you don't see it, you'll have to call someone. Someone's going to have to come in and do the cleanup while the hunts are doing all the other turning. And then we can just say, this is what it costs us in these kind of points, and we'll be able to do it. And then that will directly pay for a service that the individual can have, and then we'll disrupt the process of turning over the cabin to others. So that's what the problem is. So I would suggest maybe finding out what it costs for whoever we can get to do that, and then simply say that to someone, and then have to do that when the situation arises. And then it will disrupt the operation of the land, and the cost will be borne by the people who violate it.
But what's the price we're talking about adding right now?
Taking out $100 instead of $50.
I can tell you right now, you're not going to get anybody from Panama to come out and do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Anywhere near that.
This is why I thought.
I think that's a good suggestion. However, so far we've had
$400. Not just one cabin, no.
No, I'm just telling you. There isn't even available number one.
It's been twice so far this year, probably. So it's kind of a minimal amount of time. But unless this becomes a bigger issue, we just increase, we just double the.
I would recommend we observe what happens with the $100, and if it happens even less at all than what it is now, yeah, then it's not much. But otherwise, yeah. True. We'll ask. Let's see. Do you guys know anybody who lives down in Johnson Canyon that might want to contract?
I can tell you right now, you're not going to get anybody up here to do it. At any price. There are no employees available, and you can say, hey, I'll give you $500 to be up here. You might do it once, but they're not going to be available on a regular basis. So,
not when you need it. You're going to have people sitting there waiting to get into that.
We've got two hotels in town with cameras and staff.
So far, we're talking about a problem that's only happened twice this year.
Yeah, so let's
move forward with what's been suggested and see how it works.
Exactly.
You need to let us know if it's a problem. If it becomes more of a problem, then we're going to have to start doing some digging and have a plan in place.
A little higher down here. There you go. That's when it's worth the work for them.
So, Rachel, what projects do you still foresee or is on your mind as to what you're going to be trying to do or doing as far as caretaking here?
I don't know. We're having
How about the schedule at all? Have you been just putting up flyers or the schedule of rest suggested, like, Tuesday?
They get a couple of days in on the schedule because I got with John and told him that I had some emergency stuff as soon as they were available, and so he scheduled them 2 days for that, and then they practiced one day on the road. So yeah, it's kind of started the sprint program a little bit, but we had a
few days to focus on it. I just suggest he focused on that, and okay, John. Thank you. We appreciate it very much. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to our next item.
General board items here.
General board items. Does anybody want to bring up something that's not on the agenda so far? I brought up already the flag. The air star. Anything else? Okay, let's go on down to legal. Gary?
The first matter after this discussion, there have been no time to discuss with Phil and Rachel the improving of the water hauling station. There's just not time, so that will be handled when there's not five emergencies taken care of. And same with the lower water system, everybody's just running crazy right now. As far as the DSROA bylaws and PCMR, an email was sent out. Actually, two emails were sent out to the membership. I think I'll speak to Mariah. I think she heard that from one person that said, "Send us the red line so we can see the difference." And I said, "That's impossible. They're so different.
They're not the same, huh?
It's not. They're not even. There's no way to put together a red line." I said, "They need to read the document." So, but I haven't had any feedback. Other than one person emailed and said, "You know, if you guys put it together and think it's a good thing, then we'll support it." That's about it.
I got just a couple of little things. I keep going back to that dispenser.
Okay.
Let's say page two, first paragraph of second to last line, and listen, shall ensure to the benefit of and be binding upon and may be enforced. That's the key word to me. It may be enforced by declarant, the association, each owner, and the respective heirs, executors, and administrators, and successors, and assigned. I didn't know that the declarant had any particular enforcement power, but that clearly states that. I mean, but it also says heirs, administrators, successors, and assigns. Clarify a little more for me. I know we did talk about that a little bit.
The declarant is a member, so they have the right to enforce them either way. It doesn't make any difference. That language there doesn't make any difference.
I might feel a little better if it said enforced by the declarant as a member. Does that change things?
No. It doesn't make any difference.
That would be a little more emotional, or just a little easier on me. Joe, is that where you feel?
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Then keep going to the third page. I think it's 1.16 and 1.17. I can't see what I was thinking about in 1.6, but I think it's in 1.7. I think you covered this, but I just can't remember, about the facts about email.
We discussed that before. As far as the CCNR, as far as the bylaws, I don't have a problem communicating by email. As far as CCNR, since they bind the ownership, and it's a real property matter, then I tend to want to leave that with communications only, but in writing, just to make sure that since it affects people's property, that they really do get proper notice without any surprises. So,
all right. And a little thing, when Mariah, when we send out emails, like we send all this stuff, can we attach something like they have to admit or something that they received it?
If I get an email, I don't have to say I got it, and you can't tell whether I got it or not.
It's true. Okay,
Mariah, I told them that you'd heard back from one person after the red line. Have you heard back from anyone else?
I've heard from two people. There was some sort of
a and I told them my suggestion was read the document. There's no way for us, and we shouldn't take responsibility and have them later say, well, you didn't tell me it was important. They need to look through it and decide whether it's something they want or not.
When did the voice begin to mention and just said, oh, I feel like I really want to do this, but I don't have time to do all this. Okay.
Well, you can't complain later on.
In 1.18, again, this word of the parent, owner or lot owner shall mean the person or persons, including the parent, who is the owner of record.
There you go. Okay, so the parent is a lot owner. I'm just a dumb cowboy, but what's hypothecated? Means lease or mortgage.
That's right.
Conditions and equitable services. Equitable services are like CC&R things that bind the property moving forward, rules and regulations that apply to that property. I still have strong objections to it, too. And I think the language has changed pretty dramatically from the last language from the last one. And it even opens the doors wider for people to have disputes and different things happen. But I think I speak for every member that none of us by law out here that they want to be able to come in and have any type of a brand new road or easement put into their property with them not being a major participant in the decision that happens, whether it be access to common grounds, which now this document opens up easements to access common grounds through people's property or ingress or egress. But my suggestion is that we change that language that I think every lot needs to be protected to be able to have access to it. And if our document doesn't give them that right to access every single lot, then we need to make, you know, clarity that every lot has a right to have access to it, but for people's enjoyment or
private access. Which route the access is. I mean, there might be one access to the lot that would have to go around the hill. Another would be a shortcut that goes right through the front yard of it.
And that might have been a major mountain in the beginning of this thing, but now 40 years later, I think there's probably maybe 15 lots or something that we might have to actually make diagrams and actually think and put them right on the plot. We draw them on if they don't want to build them, draw them in, give them rights to come build that road in there. So when I buy a lot, I know that, hey, there's an easement coming through there to access that for lot over
change
here.
The easement, then that entail also very changing the whole plot.
Yep, that's what we talked about last time. Is in order to accomplish that, you have to change the CC&R, but you also have to amend the plat. So what we need to find out is exactly, and in your concern of changing the language doesn't change here necessarily, it just now includes, because people would read the CC&R and say it says one thing, and they would never go read the plat, which says it expands on that, so I just put it all in one place so that there's no mistake. That's what the easement does or doesn't do.
Is there a mistake in your mind as far as what was trying to do here, as far as
what is it that we're trying to do on our bylaws?
We're trying to provide legal disclosure so people know what they're getting.
I'm not changing. At least my intent wasn't to change things.
especially related to easements. It was just to put it in the document that they people will actually see, and so they know, hey, this is what I'm getting, this is what I'm not getting. If you want to change it and eliminate or restrict the easement, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but you have to not only change the piece of earth, but you also have to change the plat. That was my point.
And to change the plat, I mean, like deed, it takes 3/4 of the members.
Well, it takes Dale, number one, in order to change the plat, because he's the one that to move. So we have to get on board and maybe have a sit-down meeting with Dale and see what it is that he wants in there to
so besides that, what he needs to change the plat.
I haven't reviewed the subdivision ordinance in King County, but my guess is you're going to have
every member,
almost every member sign off on it.
That's we're right. Doing that right now in the subdivision where I live, in CAP, because the language of the CCNR did not set against duplexes because King family residents subdivision. That was eliminated by zoning. Now the city has changed the zoning. So now they can build duplexes, and so the only way we can test it is to go back and redo our CCNRs. And the only way to redo the CCNRs is to have 100% response from every single lot owner and get, I can't remember what the percentage on ours is, like 95%. Well, 100% have to respond, and 95% have to vote affirmative to the vote.
Right. And I'm not resisting them changing the plot map. It's just, what we're trying to do here doesn't go that far, and I don't want to confuse the issue and jeopardize getting this through, which is already going to be hard.
And then go back and maybe try.
If you go back with the specific issue that says all we're coming to do is deal with the easement, then you can explain it easier to the members, and they're all going to have to be on board, and it may, you know, hopefully it's faster.
The thing to resolve that particular concern is. There's a distinction in my mind, and I think legally, between a public utility easement or whatever, road, whatever, and a private driveway.
This is just easement. That's the problem.
But if you've already got access to your lot, you don't have a right to a second access across the neighbor's property.
But if you don't have access to your lot, you should have rights to have access to your lot.
Right. The number of lots that don't have access. I mean, there was a comment earlier in the communication back and forth that said, for all of the lots touch roads, which is not at all correct. You know, we're close to 50 that didn't in the last 3 years, meaning nobody's aware of because it's not an issue because I wasn't cutting through the middle of somebody else's lot without matter. I either contacted the person, or it was a lot that I own, or our family owns, then it's not a big deal, but to come through and say, hey, Grant, I have a lot behind you, and I'm cutting right through the middle of your lot, or right along the border of your lot, which is your private corner. I could go talk to him and work it out. I could come to you and talk to you and work it out, not just, I don't even agree with, hey, give me 60 days, and I'm worrying too over it, and I'm doing it.
Well, my point, and I see the size of all the arguments and the frustration. The problem is, this is not, this particular change is not the time where we can or should try to make that change as well, just because it won't happen, it won't work. And the changing of the plat, the expense related to it, I mean,
I don't have an answer. Trump will vote on this. Everybody feel that Terry's explanation is reasonable?
I want to look more into what actually the expenses are and costs. I did go in and talk to several of the offices in this.
But it's not even the expenses, whether we can pass. Already that's a real heavy insight.
It's 3/4 compaction. We can do a lot of things as long as we're supportive of each other. And there's trade-offs and volunteers. There's no legislation that goes through that everybody agrees with completely, or they might sacrifice one piece of legislation for another.
Joe, I think, has more underlying things on
here. I'd like to go back to 1.1. It says declaring shall mean Clarkson investment. So every time I read declaring, it puts Clarkson investment on that. And I don't understand why that it
like 1.18, I'm wondering why then, if he's a member, do we even have to include like the first name, owner or lot owner?
Didn't that just,
the first name
just say person or persons and eliminate
the owner of record? Why do we have to include the client?
Because the client was the original developer, and identifying them as being a party to this agreement.
So that part's okay, but when you're talking about who an owner is, why does the declarant have to be included as an owner if he is an owner? And it says owner or lot owner.
Does it make any difference?
It does. I think people get rubbed the wrong way with declarant in this.
From a rights and responsibilities, does that change make any difference in the enforceability or the result or the what happens with the document?
On the other side, if you remove it, does it make any difference?
I don't know that it does.
Then I would say, for the sake of rubbing people wrong, take it out.
Well, the next stage, the question to me is why he has to sign it at the end. That puts him, Mark, an investment on our document.
He was part of the last one and the one before that.
And he's agreeing to, it's specified, he's agreeing to make this big change. Okay, I can see that. But every once in a while, just throwing this declarant in here where it doesn't make any difference.
That's how the form I got from Bruce to get started, which I thought would be more acceptable to everybody as an independent party that was there. And if it's that big of a deal to the membership, then I can look at removing the word declarant from those paragraphs. Doesn't make any difference one way or the other.
I just feel like emotionally those that aren't so legally inclined to really understand.
Well,
I hear your explanation, and I totally agree.
And I think you really want to please people so that we can get this approved.
Yes.
And that goes a long way to getting it approved from somebody that has to approve it.
Mm-hmm.
So remember the trade-off
and
some of those kind of things?
Yeah.
I don't control him. I don't control the board or the other members. But I can tell you that with that change, then you may rock the boat. And it doesn't make one bit of difference in what the document says or does.
The only place I saw where the declarant was when it talked about that early on the enforcement.
Well, but you can see that the declarant can, or as a lot owner, then the declarant can enforce the CCNR anyway. That's how it's set up.
That's clear to everybody. It's clear to me, and I see the politics in it. And I see, for the sake of doing it, I am willing to go along with it. How do you guys feel?
What does it mean by enforce?
That means
I'm a lot owner, so.
So the CCNR say that you can and can't do certain things on your property, the common area. So if somebody says, hey, this guy's. You know, doing something that's not allowed. Well, we had one come up this month, I don't remember specifically, where two lot owners disagree and they came to the association, the board saying, here, fix this for me. We're probably going to say, that's none of our business. We're not going to get involved. You say, you guys have the right to enforce this contract just like anybody else. Go ahead. Yeah, something like that.
There was a lot gate over there.
So this gives the association the right to enforce it, but it's all
resolved, no problem with that.
That's it, exactly.
It's not going to go through us. That's the thing.
Exactly.
We can only be in charge of making a decision when it crosses association lines.
Or when it affects the association. Absolutely.
Yeah. The two individuals, they should work it out.
Okay, anything else, Gary, you want to bring up?
Or anybody?
Yeah, that was my... I didn't hear what you said.
Well, in order to work some things out, then you have to have some leverage, and that's what these CCNRs give each party, a basis for what should or shouldn't happen to be able to work things out. At least that's the intent.
It just, in my mind, the word enforce is a problem. Brent put up a gate, I can't get to my lot. So just to enforce my law, I take it into my own hands and go down the gate. things cost more than fucking. So let me set this up as an outsider insider. Here in Canada, who never set Washington to the membership, we need to approve for the necessary change that we have, you know, we are so delinquent in the fact that we're having set up a change. So,
New York, and he doesn't pay the bill or bounce the check, and he goes back to New York,
you gotta hire, you gotta pay somebody $4,000 just to take them to court. So if somebody's out of state, we'll never collect it.
I had to pay all the tax taxes and adjustments on my lot. No,
just
years.
Say that it does get passed on. That's fine.
Okay.
That was. No, that was an major one to me.
Yeah, that was too.
I got a few questions why, but yeah. Oh, on 10 it says no sign unless it's for sale. Can't he put no hunting signs up?
Associations can put up signs on association ground however you want.
But the private property can
you
put up no
have
hunting.
Billboards on the on
well,
the lot.
It's just for no hunting, not billboards for no hunting.
Well, that's no trespassing. I can ask, but I don't think that's a problem.
That's not a problem. It's just if somebody wants to, because there's no hunting signs all over. Anyhow.
Because
you had to the first year of your goal,
yeah.
The
problem then was kind of crazy. But the same thing about the only one that they say, hunting or non-hunting. As a private landowner, I cannot say
no hunting. I can say no trespassing. You can say hunting by permission only. Well, because,
you know, Fred
Farrell
had no hunting signs all over the place.
Yeah, but there's, I mean, legally, the state's the only one that can permit. If you put up a sign, it's probably going to get somebody to think about here to
say, hey, who's here hunting? You put up a
food. So what if you're going to change and put it in?
Just where it says you can put up a for sale sign or a for lease sign that will add up that. No trespassing and no hunting signs. No big deal.
No.
Okay. Everybody good with that?
Okay.
Anything else?
That one was originally included just to try to somewhat maintain the natural ranch look and not have 300 spots with sign up to sign the edge. No trespassing, no hunting, no.
We're up here for the family. Okay, let's see. Back to our
The schedule. Let me just hit the schedule. So right now, we've sent the email out. People have, whether they read them or not, the 30th of June is the cutoff date for the comments period. We'll see if we get any comments other than what we've had here. And then the idea is to prepare a ballot and a final draft to be able to be sent out with a notice for the annual meeting in an effort to try to get this voted on and approved at or around the time of the annual meeting. Now, keep in mind two things. With the CCNR, we need to vote for 75% of the membership, whether they come to the meeting or not. And so we may want to say votes will be preliminarily counted at the annual meeting, but we may want to extend and say we'll still accept votes. At the meeting or after for a month. Because it may take us campaigning to get enough votes to get the CCNR staff.
So then we could send out a thing saying, hey, we got 68%, we need those people to respond.
And they can, it just takes.
That's a very good idea.
We need to, anyway.
Our intent is to get these staff, not just to hold the vote.
And see what happens.
So we may have to have
seconds. The bylaws, that thing happens and should happen at the meeting, but CCNRs are a little different because they relate to ownership, so I think we need to.
Our meeting's September 12th through thereabouts, obviously, by expectation.
Uh-huh.
So, can we say by November 1st?
Well, I wouldn't say anything in our mail out.
No, not so.
Because I don't want to give anybody an excuse to say I have till November.
Yeah.
But realistically, we may extend the vote to November.
After the
year,
they
send out
a report like a month.
See, if we get the vote by the meeting, it's not a big deal.
Okay. Very good. Okay.
We want to get it out as soon as possible to give them as much time as they want. And they can start mail voting from that point and move it forward. So. Yeah, they'll have to approve and vote on the final draft, which will probably happen in our June or July meeting. Well, I mean, in July meeting. Yeah, June meeting.
I think we covered a lot of things. I think if we push just a little, we'll be able to push through our whole agenda and then take some. Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah, because Larry Sims isn't here. We're going to skip by 9.
So we're skipping 9. Brad?
We're just moving forward on all of our projects that we've been discussing all year long. So we have not yet received notification one way or another whether or not the funding is going to come through for us or not. So we anticipate that. I thought it was happening by now, but government is government.
Okay. Joe,
you kind of, the only thing I got questions, Larry, you got that septic tank? You know, what'd you pay for that?
Tank and the riser, the supplies I picked up from yesterday morning were like $15 for $2,000. I've got to do this for stuff, and I brought down the buildings and pipes and a couple of the cities had on the top of the there. But it's just the tank all in and good. The leak line, they said it was operating. We filled it, and it's not handling. I mean, I think it's pretty much saturated.
I think we need a new one. Yeah.
Over time, I think it will recuperate a little bit, but I went ahead and started digging a field just to give it somewhere to go.
We have rocks up there.
I haven't even looked in the pit. I was going to ask
you. I used to have some of those really big.
No, we got any loose rock, big stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Put that aside somewhere.
I think it was off to the right side just as you're going down. Right where all those pipes
are. John, the just back was all back together now. We may want to go ahead and haul some leaf rock and stuff. I don't have time to complete that system. I mean, like yesterday and today, I should have been doing two other systems that I'm under the gun for. But just because it was acting the way it was acting, I went ahead and started digging it, so we should finish.
How long the bed are you going to put in? About 40 feet?
Well, we talked about, and in some of the email back and forth, we were talking about putting in the bigger tank and more field to accommodate an RV dump. After looking at the area, that's really a horrible place to try to get trailers in and dump, and if somebody's having a picnic here at the garden cabin or whatever, you don't want somebody coming in and dumping their RV right there. So I got my thoughts about it yesterday, and I just don't think unless you run the pipe all the way out.
You don't want to dump people dumping here either, though.
Yeah,
should be someplace else.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
I think if we added a couple of 50-foot legs, I put in a distribution box and tied in the original lease line and then added two more sub-outs so we can run two more, whatever, 50-foot, 80-foot, 100-foot. Go as long and as far as we want.
Okay. We're not counting the leak bed. You know how much we're going to owe you for to put the tank in?
I'll have to add up all the little parts and pieces that I brought down. But
not counting parts. Those are the thing on your label.
It's probably going to run, I need to do about $1,000 right now for them and $2,000 on those and still.
Not a problem there, no. Okay.
I put on 2 15-inch risers and then realized that wasn't bringing it up to the surface of the ground, so I sold 2 of my 24-inch risers that I was on a different system. I haven't looked at the prices.
Okay.
While you're talking, do you want to get your wildlife security thing?
Only thing I had to add is we ditched off the fish ponds. I had called, the guy that sold the fish sold his business, and so we didn't get a hold of anybody. When I finally tracked down the new owner, that was the week I was leaving to go to Alaska, and I thought I had it set up to have them delivered. And when I got back, they hadn't been delivered, so I panicked thinking, I'm trying to get fish here for that holiday weekend. I caught them as they were loading and driving out the gate going to the little fish place from Glendale, Canyon. They said, well, we've got another tank on the truck, so we can bring your tank. I would have brought that to bring fish to you.
That's okay.
But
we put in, John was there. I guess about that.
Removed a lot of gravel there that belonged to Brent and
Bill McElroy and somebody else paid for. And they weren't very happy at that. And of course, they caught a culvert and ripped it and pulled it up, which ultimately is one. He went back and tried to repair that, but it isn't good enough. And so Brent and I have been talking about that. I did not give him permission to do all that, but he's kind of a zealous guy, and in his favor, we were talking about it, but we were waiting to see what he had come up with in the way of a machine to do this. So we have some unhappy people. I sent him a message to just stand down, and I said, we got some panic situation out there until I get back home, to stand down on it until I get back and find out what's going on. Well, he apparently did. He had a lot of rocks and rolls, and he had his aerial to pick that up. And he told me that's what he was going to do, that he would throw a lot of rocks, and the aerial would pick them up. And so they did get cleaned up. But I haven't heard from him. I assume that he's in Idaho, because he's looking to get married to this woman, and he goes up there a lot of weekends. But he may have gotten angry. I don't know, because his fuel tank that he has out there, he's been out there for a while. I drove by his house, and it's there, and all the equipment removed from the land. So I don't know where we go from here with him. I'll talk to him when he gets back. In the meanwhile, on any construction and making repairs, you are going to do some grass damages. And thankfully, we got the dump truck and the gravel out there that we can haul about gravel where it needs to be. And that's about all I got on that. I don't know if anybody wants to throw in their 2 cents right now.
It's hard for people to understand is moisture content is food, and if you've got moisture, there's a lot of forgiveness. You can blade, you spray, you can do all kinds of things, but if it's not there and it's dry, no matter what you do or what equipment you do it with, you're doing that. Period. So if it's not moist, anything you do, you can make it as smooth and beautiful, it squirts off, because if you're breaking through that cementitious process that sets up, once you press that, go through the hard pin, you just like a sand pocket. I mean, you drive this road out here, and every one of those sand pockets, just because it's broken through, and there's no moisture to find back in there. So, even though we're trying to smooth up and clean up washboards, you're better off drive washboards and potholes to make it worse. I mean, you'll smooth it up one day. The county did the road out here, and literally 3 days later, it's worse than if it had left it alone.
It was between last week and this week, but I know this I don't know what. Are they intended to charge for that? I know he doesn't charge much. I had him to go up Pedal Canyon, and he's charging $500 for that, but he didn't want to be paid yet. I know he's not charging much, but we can't even get somebody to bring equipment out here for $500, let alone do any work if they want to get it. But anyway, I got to talk to him and see where we stand on that. And meanwhile, we may have to haul a little gravel here, but he's not around. I checked twice yesterday when I went to town. He's not around. But I do know that he goes by the whole, probably over the weekend.
I guess we'll just stay on top of this again.
One other comment is that I kind of saw, I don't know if you're curious, the blade can still make or get back to the blade.
We talked about that when you were gone, and I told him that's not a blade scratcher, so that's.
Yeah.
The air strip, I went through thousands of dollars getting that just for that.
Well,
fill in what
the problem is with the air strip, or even the beauty of the road, if you've got to start at the lowest point on the farthest outside,
yeah.
And then
run it all the way across the other side. You cannot start anywhere in the middle and make any kind of a pivot. And the airstrip is extremely critical, but the roads are exactly the same. The flight area, the roads are the same.
First time we did the airstrip express to this, and then we had thrust on that. So then we found the right thing. It stayed good for like 7 or 8 years. So other than just slipping off
the brush, wind drifted high spots. Okay, it started right over at the very, very virgin edge and did what they did, and then chased that windrow, you know, every pass, worked it all the way across and back.
Well, anyway, so for now, if you could fill in just a little 16th, 8 inch, whatever, 4 inch, little cut, just leave it until you get the moisture and or you got some practice. Yeah, this is I'm the airport manager, and I spent $20,000 or more on that trip when it's my baby, and I don't land there anymore, but it really takes quite a finesse.
If we do anything damage to it, it does land and has an accident, then we become liable.
Yes and no, because it's restricted. They don't land with permission.
They're kind of after that.
Did that cover everything?
Well, it covered everything. We can all see that Phil and Rachel have been working their ass off.
Yeah, we've
been doing a good job in making people happy, and been easy.
Yeah, Phil, when you were here, we told Rachel we really appreciate it. You know, it's been one little fire after another, and you guys sit there and dance it up. So, thanks for doing what you're doing. Now, we need to set a time for our next meeting.
We already talked about moving July meeting because that's my ideal family reunion.
So, is July 14th, would that work for you or not?
Calendar somebody.
Right
now.
July and August both, I'll be only available by phone. So it doesn't matter what day.
14th is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
14th is great. So it didn't slow down.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. It's one of that.
Okay, 14th is the calendar. Second week. Isn't this the weekend we were out down in Kansas City in July? Is that the 21st? The 14th? Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'm okay. 14th. Okay, so be it. 11th lock here at the ranch. Anything else we forgot, left out, or certain ladies talked about? Because we'd all like to have lunch. All right, this meeting starts. Sure, do we need a
executive
meeting or not? Right. Sounds like we have our collection stuff pretty well under control.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything we need to discuss.
Well then, why don't you guys prepare lunch for everybody to scramble over there, and we'll just have this 10-minute meeting while lunch is getting ready.
Okay.